So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out to the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. It's a familiar story, isn't it? We know the story of Christmas so well. The nativity story is well known to us. But let's just set this in context. Come with me, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel. And John chapter 1. In John chapter 1:1, it says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And there we are today, in our world today. The light shines, and the darkness doesn't comprehend it. In fact, the darkness rallies against the light. And if you represent the light of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, the darkness rallies against that gospel. Why? Well, ultimately in a human being, there's either going to be rebellion or there's going to be yielding. And if you think of your life, you think of the decisions you've made and when you've made them and how you've made them, there's either rebellion or a yielding. And there's rebellion against God or yielding to God that takes place. And when people yield to God, they follow the light. And when they rebel against God, they follow darkness. And so this Christmas story gets me to think of that and gets me to think of the fact that every day of my life, I need to yield to the light, yield to God's light inside of me. And I have an opportunity to yield, but I know inside of me is darkness. And darkness wants to rebel. The darkness inside of me wants to rebel. I naturally am good at rebellion. I just want to rebel. I want to go my own way and do my own things and rebel against the things of God. And you're just the same, according to the scriptures. Now, the secular worldview is this, that human beings are good and we're getting better. But the Bible's view of mankind is totally different. The Bible's view is mankind was born into sin, and mankind walks and lives in sin and is against God and sets themselves up against God, and they walk in their rebellion until such a time as they might yield to God and follow his way. And they do that by following and walking in the light. But what I want to do is, I want to walk in the light, and I want to be what he's called me to be and do all that he's called me to do. And I can only do it if I follow the light. And the gospel is the light. The Christmas story is so familiar to us all, it's easy for us to overlook some things in it, you know. I think of the story, and we look at this lovely scene here, and we think that, well, there was no room, first of all. There was no room. Well, today, the great irony is that throughout this land, many have said, I've got no room for you, Jesus. I want Jesus outside. You keep him outside. You keep your religion, that's fine. No room for him in here. Because if Jesus is allowed in, Jesus will change us. And when I let Jesus into my life, I was 15 years old, and I called up and I said, God, if you exist, you show me. I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to face death. And my grandparents, who I love very much, were getting older. And I knew that one day I'd have to face death. I'd have to face it. Of my loved ones. And I said to him, if you exist, then show me. And I said to him, you owe me. You owe me if you exist. Because I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to find myself having to face these difficult questions. So if you really do exist, and if you made everything, and if you really are there, then you show me. That was my 15-year-old call to God. And 3 weeks later, I went to a youth club, Christian youth club. Followed a girl into a youth club that I liked from school. And when I was in the youth club, they made you sit in the youth club. And they said, you have to sit through half an hour's talk about Jesus. And you know, in order to play the table tennis and the pool and spend some time with the girls afterwards, you have to still go through this. And so it was worth it for me. And I sat around, you know, and there I was listening to these people who I didn't like in school, you know, the people who didn't really get on with, and they're just singing these Christian songs and you know, around the fire. And literally, it was an old gas fire. They were singing these songs. It was an interesting scene. And there was something beautiful about that scene. And the songs they were singing, I remember them. One of them was this song. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful from my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful from my life. And when they were singing that song, I thought, I want to experience that. And 3 weeks later, I became a Christian. And I prayed a prayer and I said, Lord, I want you to be, I'm inviting you. They said, you want to invite Jesus, you want to be born again. I said, born again? What's born again? Born again? Well, please don't get me involved in this religious stuff. Born again, what's that about? They said, no, it's in the Bible. I said, if it's in the Bible, I said, because I was reading the words of Jesus, and the words of Jesus seemed right to me. And, you know, I was good at sussing things out, you know. I was good at chess. I was the school chess champion right throughout, from year 11, from the first year that I was in the school right to the end. No one ever beat me in chess. I won the form championships and I won the school championship every year. I was good at sussing things out, problems in chess and things. And when I read the words of Jesus, and I'd suss people out, you know. I just sussed people out. I wasn't taking things for granted. You know, I was sussing things out. That's the way I was made. I was reading people all the time, questioning. But the words of Jesus, I knew they were different. I knew that Jesus' words made more sense to me than any other words I'd ever read. I knew there was something truthful in those words that I hadn't found anywhere else. So I said, if you show me in the Bible where it says that, then I'll listen to Jesus. Because I did believe Jesus. And they showed me about being born again. And they showed me about accepting Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And I prayed a very simple prayer. And I said, Lord, I want you as my Lord and my Savior. I want you. And that night, I skipped home. I was 15 years old. You know, I was walking with a cool walk, you know. I was 15, you know, and this is what 15-year-olds do. I was the leader of my little gang at 15 years old. And that night I skipped like a little boy. I just skipped home so happy because I knew that God loved me and Jesus had saved my life. And that's the beautiful truth that has rung through the ages, my dear friends. God loves you so much. He loves you so much. You're so precious to him. He loves you. You say, well, how does he show it? That's how he shows it. There. That's how he shows it. Every Christmas tree that you see out there, all the lights and all the houses, they all represent and they all point to the fact that God loves us. That's how he showed it. He sent his son. But like that inn where they said, there's no room. You have to go outside. There's no room in here. People say there's no room. Oh, Jesus, yeah, Jesus, okay, yeah, I like Jesus, fine. But I'm not going to let you reign in my heart. I'm not going to let you really be the Lord of my life because I want to do other things instead. People love things instead. They've replaced having Jesus as Lord in their hearts with, I like cars. I want to spend my time in cars. Or I like making money. I want to make lots of money, and I'm into that. That's my thing, you know. And people can find all sorts of reasons and things to do rather than having Jesus as their Lord and saying, Jesus, you're the most important thing in my life. Come now and be the Lord and reign in my life. But brothers and sisters, the number one thing for us to do in our lives, and the number one thing for us to share with people this Christmas, family and friends that we meet, is the gospel truth of Jesus. That light has come into the world, and if you yield to that light, then you are a son of God and you follow God. If you rebel against the light and you don't let the light in, then you go in a very bad way. And that's the way that the world wants. That's the way that the world promotes. That's the way that the world stands for. The Christian way is very different to the way of secular society. It's radically different. It's diametrically opposed. And so we have to say to ourselves, right, Jesus is our Lord. He's the light of my life. And when he's the light of your life, the scripture becomes very important. And you read the scripture and you study the scripture. The scripture becomes a vital aspect of life for those who are walking in the light. He comes as a baby, and so innocent. And the scene is set there. And I liked what C.S. Lewis said. Either Jesus Christ was a madman, very clever, a manipulator, you know, a skillful manipulator of people. Maybe Jesus was a skillful manipulator of people, he said, able to configure things in such a skillful way. Or he was a madman, just a crazed lunatic after power, or Jesus was who he claimed to be. And for C.S. Lewis, of course, Jesus was who he claimed to be. But the problem with C.S. Lewis's theory is this. The birth of Jesus is celebrated throughout the world. That's even before his life, before he did anything. So even his entrance into the world is celebrated. His entrance into the world, before he spoke anything, before he taught anything. Everything about Jesus was different. God comes down as a man and says to us, look, this is how you should live your life. Just think of it, you know. When you compare the religions of the world, you study different religions of the world, people say, oh, well, that's you picked this, okay, there's many different routes to God. I don't believe there is. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except by me. You say that's narrow and exclusive. Yes, that's right. It's narrow and exclusive. Ah, but that's too, surely, you know, there's other religions. There's other, you know, possibilities, surely. No, that's what Jesus said. And for me, Jesus is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. Jesus is the light of the world. I believe what Jesus said. It's for the whole world. And people either accept or reject. Yeah, but what about those other religions? Well, what about them? Let's look at them. If you have a look at the teachings of Jesus, you find that Jesus is the one who says, and the only one who says, do to others what you would want them to do to you. Now, if God was to come to earth, what kind of teaching would he give? It would be a surprising teaching like that, wouldn't it? No one else has taught that. No one else taught that. Some religions demand of people, you come this way or else. Does that sound like God? It's not God. That's not truth. That's not God. That's not the light of the world. That's darkness, evil. The light of the world comes with love for all people, regardless to who those people are, regardless to whatever religion they might have. That light comes and shines, and if they follow that light as it shines, then they'll be in the truth, and they'll walk in the truth. The light is found in the Bible. The light of God is there in the Word of God. So, when we are objective about it, and we look and we find that the truth is there, we have an opportunity then to respond to the truth and say, that truth is for me. I want that light. I don't know if you've ever accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I expect most of us in this room have. Maybe some of us haven't. What I would want to say to you is this. Jesus comes, splits history into BC, AD. Our dates are dated from Jesus Christ. He leaves with us the Word of God. He fulfilled the Jewish teachings of the Old Testament. He's the fulfillment of those teachings, those prophecies. He gives us now an opportunity to follow him. And he says this, if you come and follow me, then what you have to do is you have to put me in number one place. It's not an additional little extra. Jesus demands our life. So we put him in first place. So we're concerned about what the scriptures teach. We read the scriptures. We study the scriptures throughout the week. We pray throughout the week. We worship and sing to him. Not because we're compelled to out of religious duty, but because we're in relationship with him. We love him. He loves us. And this has become a reality to us. My friends, is Jesus inside of you? Or did you say that there was no room for him? Have you said there's no room for you in my life, Jesus? No room for you, Jesus. I'm busy working, you see, Jesus. I'm busy throughout the week. You know, I'd like to let you in. I'd like to let you in. But you see, I'm so busy. I am. I'm just such a busy person. And besides that, you know, I do like to relax and watch the TV when I come home. And then I do like to go and do this other hobby that I have. And then, of course, I've got my friends to see. And then there's my family and everything. Jesus, I'd love to have you, but there's no room. I got no room for you, Jesus. My friends, the ones who really follow Jesus remove some of those things to make sure that number one priority in their lives is room for Jesus. Room for Jesus to speak to them. Room for him to have his place in their lives. Every day of the week, there's room for Jesus in the Christian's heart and in their daily life. My friends, have you given him space and room? Do you have room for him today? I'm so happy to say to you, he loves you. He loves you. You're so precious to him. He looks down and he wants the best for you. Don't follow the darkness. Don't follow the darkness out there of the world. Leave that and just follow Jesus. He loves you. His gospel is the truth. The word of God is the truth. It may have gone out of fashion, but it's still the truth. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you something that is true. 2 and 2 is 4. You say, well, that's a boring answer. It's the same answer as it was 100 years ago. That's right. 2 and 2 was 4 100 years ago. And 2 and 2 was 4 1,000 years ago. And 2 and 2 was 4 when Jesus Christ was born in the stable. 2 and 2 was 4 then. It hasn't gone out of fashion. It is the truth. And Jesus is the truth. For some, he may have gone out of fashion, but we're not following fashion. We're following the truth. So it's the truth that sets us free. You should know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Why does it set you free? Because then the light is in your life. And you come to the scriptures and read the scriptures, and you read about how wonderful Jesus is and what he's done for us. And all that he means for us. Let's just stand, shall we, as we close this service. And let's pray a very simple prayer. I want to invite us all just to have our eyes closed. Everyone with your eyes closed, please. No one looking around. Just everyone standing. And no one looking at anyone else. Eyes closed. So I want us to respond to God. And I want to invite everyone in this place. If you know that you've done things wrong in your life, just before I pray, just let me say this. You know that you've done things wrong in your life. You know that you're guilty before God. If God was to look at you and say, look, are you guilty or are you clean? You know that you'd be guilty. You've done things wrong. We all have. And he says this, the baby that was born in the manger, the one that they didn't have room for in the inn, He died on a cross for you. He was born, in fact, for the purpose ultimately of dying on the cross for you. That when he died on the cross, all of your sins were washed clean. As that's all he says, that's all he asks of you, is to put your faith in him. And if you say, I believe in you, Lord Jesus, and I believe that you died on the cross, and I believe that when you died on the cross, you washed my sins clean. You took my sins. You may not fully understand all that that means, but there's something inside of you that's saying, yes, I want to believe that. If that's you this morning, then give your heart to him. Give him your life today. Every eye closed, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. And we ask that you would see us in these moments as we come to you. We thank you that you do. If you're in this place now, in this prayer, and you want to become a Christian this morning, I invite you to put your hand up now and respond to God. Do it right now, this moment. Say, yes, I want to be a Christian. I want that to be for my future. If that's you, just put your hand up quickly. Yes, I see a hand raised. I see several hands raised there. People reconfirming that they've done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So, Father God, you've seen, Lord, that we respond to you. And we're saying, Lord, we have room for you inside our hearts. We want your will to be done in and through our lives. And we submit to you today. We say, Lord, have your way then, that we would be representatives of the gospel to those that we meet during this Christmas season, that your will would be known and that your will will be done in and through our lives. In Jesus' wonderful name, we give you praise. Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Father. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to go into the room next door.